Hello, hi. Welcome to your favorite Makoti podcast, Makoti Unveiled. I'm your host, the resident Makoti, Sia Thiel. Now, today we are talking about a very heavy topic. It is something that affects a lot of married couples in our country. In fact, research says that one in six South African couples is dealing with the issue of infertility. When everyone gets married, it's the typical dream. We get married, we have a house full of children, these little loves, baby loves, and children making a noise all through the house, and we're all happy and we live happily ever after. But in reality, that is not always the case for all of us. Some people go through issues of infertility, and that's not something that they're easily able to talk to people about it, because it's something so private that they go through. But thankfully, Mutsi is here to tell us her journey, and she's been gracious enough to give us details that ordinarily people would not be comfortable talking about.
Thank you for having me on the show. It really is a challenging topic, obviously, for obvious reasons. But the infertility one, you know, anybody who's been on the journey long enough starts to know and understand the statistics around it. So the average time, so I think where I was trying to go with this is you kind of know and you kind of have that vision in your dream board. Yes, I'm here, I'm married, there's the dream board, you know, and then there's the time frame, and it's, you know, sort of, it's got a little cloud around it, you know, and then you kind of start edging into the dream and you start ticking off the boxes in the sense that this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. And the infertility one, for me personally, I always prefer to talk for myself personally because it's the best place to talk because it's the most that I will ever understand. I have met a lot of people in my life who've been through this, and it's the most painful thing. I'm merely doing this as a form of healing for me. If I am brave enough to talk about it, it begins my healing. I'm far from healed. I'm far from done with the journey. But I'm only learning now, despite the fact that I've had access to the best medical care, the best medical minds ever. So, you know, and it's never about that. I think ultimately it comes to God's will and a lack of the dying, and ultimately science aside and everything else. So, yeah, the infertility thing for me, in my marriage, I'd always intended and had a plan to adopt children. And I can't say what I was feeling when I had that vision and a dream, but that is what my husband and I shared at the time. And it just seemed like the most sensible thing. And over time, you're then like, okay, but everything has been happening right. So on average, and this is a general average, obviously, after 2 years, if you have been with somebody and married with somebody and having intercourse with the intent of having children, you then automatically medically fall. It's even shorter now because it's you know, two are being generous. 6 months, a year in, there's something wrong. And I don't want to use the word wrong, but there's so many things that I've learned along the way, from the hormones, from your emotional standing, from your psychological well-being to your emotional well-being. And I'm learning more along my journey that a lot of the blockages are more on, it's such a holistic journey. So I'm here with nothing expertise, but it's a holistic journey of which, you know. So I'm only learning in my older age. I'm only starting to understand now what are the physical challenges, what was done, what shouldn't have been, through investigation. But you know, it's a traumatic thing, especially because more than anything, it's an expensive journey. The minute medical aids, which is very unfair.
Okay, let me cut you off. Let me interrupt you there, because I want us to take it step by step. Sure. For our viewers. Let's backtrack. How old are you when you get married? What year is this? And are you excited about the babies? Is your husband also on the same page with you? Take us back to that time.
Yeah. So I'd always like envisioned myself as being a mom. Like the fact that I would potentially have problems conceiving was just so far from my mind. Yeah. Rightfully or wrongfully, it's still very far from my mind. I still feel like whatever blockage is there is because of something else. I got married in 2009, and in our perfect picture in terms of our financial and budgetary plans, it would make sense to look into it from about 2 to 3 years in.
Okay.
But 2 to 3 years in, you're now starting to really struggle, like it's really not happening. It's not even close. You kind of just know.
So the house is ready. Financially, you guys are good.
It will be okay. Everybody wants to be as best as they can.
Yeah.
You can never be as
Yeah.
But we're closer to, and yes.
Yeah. Now it's 3 years in, and still we're not conceiving.
Right.
Are you concerned? Do you speak maybe to your mom and say, "Hey, Mama, something's happening. We've been trying. What's happening at that point?"
Now you start asking the medical questions.
Okay.
Now you start. You've been tracking certain things. You know, logically, you need to know your period, you need to understand your menstrual cycle, you need to understand how long it is, and you need to understand everything behind that. And then you start investigating, and the first thing, obviously, was, actually, through a conversation to my mom, it was to see if the tubes are blocked at all. And that was just harrowing. Somewhere, somehow, I was completely reluctant to do it, but there's no way of eliminating this problem unless you have this kind of a test. And my goodness, because nobody told me how painful these things are. And I was like, sure, if this is the way to find out. But that was to show that, no, you have this problem. It then ensued, and...
So did you do the test?
I did.
If the tubes were blocked or not?
I did. I've done several.
And were they blocked?
Yes, they were.
They were blocked.
I had the very first pain, extreme pain that I experienced was the x-ray that they do with the dye, where they inject the dye, and that shows you where the blockages are. Now, depending on the nature of your blockage, it's more and more painful as the dye goes in. So you're like sweating out bullets, and it won't go further. Some people have been very lucky, and that process alone dislodges something, and it comes right. That wasn't my case. Then I had, I'd already had problems, though. Now, looking back, it now becomes a longer journey, because then you have to start from when you first started with your menstrual cycle now. And I started quite early, and we now have to track it from there, all the things that you were not aware of, the patterns. And then I had those medical tests and whatever at that time. Then I went a step further and had the surgeries where they're now looking with cameras and all those fancy things.
And with all of this that's happening, where is your husband in terms of his state of mind? Is he with you every step of the way saying, "Look, love, we're going to do this. Babe, let's try this. Let's try whatever it's going to take." Or is he thinking,
absolutely. No, Shem. He was absolutely there and extremely supportive. He is a scientist, so, somebody who appreciates an explanation to say, so this is the problem, okay, so how do we fix it? So it was always, and we shame, there was no struggle there in terms of the cooperation required for the relevant testings. No, we didn't struggle with that at all, including what then was determined in terms of you've now taken a decision to say this is your situation. You can't have it any other way without a medical intervention. Sure, let's go for it.
And was he tested for anything as well on his side?
We did, you have to.
For both sides.
Yes, you must.
Now, as you know, the word barren is often used to describe women who can't have children. And many women find themselves in a situation where they are finding themselves under pressure from in-laws saying, "But Makoti ukumtana, where's the child, Makoti?" As if she is the one that's holding the children back. So can we talk about that and find out from you, Buzi, in your situation, was there any pressure from the in-laws, or were they supportive too?
My in-laws have been very supportive. There's a lot of doctors in my family, both on my in-law side and on my family side. So they were very supportive and were willing. The assistance that I got was through intervention from my in-laws. So I did have the best possible intervention.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Let's talk about the time frames, because I think Omagodi, we are sitting at home thinking, well, it's been 3 years, well, it's been 5 years, will my break ever come? So talk to us about your time frames. How were things panning out for you in your marriage?
Yeah, I think by 2 years I was slightly concerned already. I just silently wished I didn't have to face that too with a new marriage. So I must be honest, personally, something I may have, I was like, maybe there's a problem, which means it's a problem, but I'm still new at this, so let me get my grounding. And as I get older, I recognize also that I think I'd be a better parent now than I was then.
Okay.
In terms of what I, you know, so much has changed in terms of my psyche and in terms of my dreams and ambitions of having kids. Yes, I'm not so sure it was a bad thing. And how much I needed to grow here first.
Yeah.
I'm almost glad it didn't happen.
So at two years, you know,
2 years, you should be concerned. They'll tell you, the medical doctors will tell you, if you are with somebody consistently, within 6 months, you know, you have an idea. And remember that technology has advanced so much. So you can check when you're, like, if you're really serious, you can plan it down to a T.
And in that time, because sex is meant to be enjoyable between you guys as a couple, but now if you're tracking your ovulation, you're tracking the temperature in the room, you're tracking when your period is, you know, all of these things that are meant to be tracked if you are trying to conceive, are you even enjoying it at that time, or is it all a matter of, it's Tuesday, it's 2:30, you know we need to do the thing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And I don't think that's how it was meant to be at all, which in itself is a challenge, I think. And then often, a lot of the time, I've met a lot of people along this journey. It's such a one-sided thing, and yet you both want this thing. And the mental trauma and the anxiety, because there's so many anxieties that are born from there, around everything else. Of every month when your period does come, you're like, shucks, okay, I guess I didn't get it. It's other things that you've now developed along the way, and, you know, there's a whole conversation that needs to go on with
you. So does it affect your sex life?
Of course it does. Because women are emotional, of course it does.
So do you not enjoy it anymore, or are you, instead of being in the moment, are you hoping and praying, I hope this time something happens?
Well, I can't talk for everyone, but we're very controlling. And when you look at, you know, how people were before, it was so routine, like it was standard. You'd be married and it would happen almost automatically. Now there's so much else going on. So, no, I don't believe it's enjoyable at all, especially if you're doing it alone. And by the alone, I mean the emotional part of the desire, then it becomes your own. I don't know. I'm finding a lot of the time, and that most of the success stories, because I believe in success stories, most of the success stories, it was in, hey, let's do this together, actually. And I feel like that's the link that's missing. Just the thought of my own.
Okay. And during this whole time, was there ever a time where you doubted yourself, your womanhood, and whether or not you were woman enough to carry a child?
Oh, I still doubt myself. Every day I doubt myself. You have to, because I've seen other people who have succeeded in front of me. Then there's that phase where all your age mates start having kids at the same time. And then it becomes a strain, and it's very uncomfortable. I'm highly instinctive, so I kind of sense things before they happen, and then it's like, so and so, you. Now, there's that phase as in a young couple where you're attending everyone else's wedding, and then they're popping them out, and then they're popping them out, and then your partner's like, ish, they're one day second, and then it's like, yeah, I saw them too. So you don't know, like, you don't know. Of course, you've got to doubt yourself.
So in the circle of friends that you're keeping, are you, when somebody announces the pregnancy, are you excited but also a little jealous that it's not you?
I have always been excited about pregnancies. I really have a soft place for kids, but I find some women are very presumptuous about the topic, in the sense that they think for you, and it's not, you know. But then it becomes a whole. That's a whole other thing.
So they think not to tell you because
no,
well,
they don't. You know, they're not going to tell you. And they're like, should we let them know? Like it's, but it is what it is, and there's nothing more. I don't know. I don't want to use the word annoying. Disappointing than, ooh, let's leave them out. Then you don't know me. I don't know, that's how I feel. Like I said, it's always better for me to talk about myself. Yeah.
But maybe I'm thinking, and, you know, obviously I don't know your friends, but I suspect it could also be a thing of not wanting to trigger you.
Sure.
So we know this is a sore point.
Yes.
You want children. Yes. And yet here we are, we're having children.
Yes.
We want to celebrate, but you want to shove it in your face.
They say, people say the most horrible things. That question you asked about when you doubt yourself as a woman, the things that women will say to you.
Like what?
No, so it's obvious why you won't deliver or why you can't fall pregnant. There must be something. They're very careless about it. I don't know. A lot of them, I've blocked them out. Like, there must be something wrong with you. And just the sequence of questions is, oh, you don't have kids. Already you fall into a different category. Oh, married without kids. Okay, then there's a category for you. Okay, so you're already in the parent category. And then it's like, so well, if you try this. And then 80% of the people that you talk to have so much advice. And that's good and well, but each situation is so individual. The advice is, that's why the doctors are there, it's about the science. That's the advice you really need, the medical advice. The stuff that you really didn't know, there's really basic things that we really should know that we don't. For most people it doesn't matter, but it's such small decisions that you didn't know and didn't know better, or I don't know.
Can you perhaps elaborate on that and enlighten our viewers at home? Maybe some of them are finding themselves in a similar situation and they would like to find out what these small things that you mentioned that people take for granted.
I think for me in particular, like now in my older age, looking at my situation, I think I'm more of somebody who's suffering from something called PCOS, which is something I'm only really learning about now. And I think that's wrong and weird for somebody who's been, it's something I probably should have started with. But now that I'm relaxed about, I suppose, because then, you know, you were talking about whether it becomes a chore, it becomes a task to have a baby, but your actual reproductive health is so much more important than having that your baby. Because when you have problems like your period going away or whatever, it's so much bigger than you not having a baby. It says so much, it's nature. Even if it's that bad and you have to remove the womb, it's such a broad, deep, painful topic.
In your view, do you think a child makes a family, or is a couple able to be a family by themselves without a child if the child doesn't eventually come?
I think we should aim for trying to be a family before the child. Because if we're family, it's like whatever we're going to face, we're going to face it
together. Okay.
Yeah, there's some really debilitating, painful conditions that women go through. Like, all that said and done, like, I'm actually okay. Like, there are people who have had it so much worse than me. Like I said, I'm almost grateful that I have it now, because I understand how much growing up I needed to do here and here to be the mother that I want to be, because there's that ideal as well. So the fixing stuff doesn't work if that in which your environment you're currently in is not actually suiting you, you know.
listening to the way you're talking, it seems or it sounds as though you still want to have children in the future.
So you
haven't discarded.
Of course not. Of course not.
Look at the light.
I'd be offended if you thought I would.
You should have seen the light in your eyes come out.
I'm offended that you even think I would. Of course not.
So you haven't given up.
Why would I?
So you still want these babies?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. But there's so many methods of having babies now in this day and age. Of course I can. I can probably have it next week if I want. But what else do I want with it?
I see.
Yeah. No. It's so possible.
That's the beauty of technology.
No, you can't ever give up on these things.
Well, that's fantastic. Wunsi, thank you so much for your time. I think that's how much we have got time for today. This is a broad topic that is so layered and so heavy that I don't think we could get through all the layers and parts of it in one sitting. Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. A special thank you to you also for watching. Until next time, bye bye, Tando.
Bye bye, Noomzane.